Welcome to the Deep Dive. We've got a really interesting set of Pocket Listing Insights articles today, all zooming in on, well, the very top of the U.S. housing market, luxury real estate.
That's right. And our goal here is to kind of sift through these, pull out the key trends, what's really happened.
Exactly. We want to give you a clear picture of the activity, the dynamics, without getting bogged down.
So we're looking at places like Washington, D.C., Miami, Manhattan, but also just what is luxury now? You know, and how healthy is that high-end market overall?
Yeah, the sources cover specific sales, what's driving things, buyer preferences. It's a lot to synthesize.
It is. But we'll pull out the big insights for you.
Okay, let's jump in. Washington, D.C. first. One article really paints a picture of a thriving luxury scene there.
Mm-hmm. It mentions Robert Franiewicki's team, I think. Big numbers. $207 million in sales, 69 transactions last year alone.
Wow. So a lot of movement at the top end.
Yeah, and what's interesting about D.C., according to these sources, is how resilient it seems, even with, you know, potential federal job cuts being talked about.
Right. The luxury part seems kind of insulated.
It seems that way. The reports mention more new listings, a decent job market overall, and the spring season, you know, cherry blossoms apparently gives it a boost.
Okay. And there was something about presidential inaugurations?
Yes, that was interesting. Both Democrat and Republican, the period after an inauguration often sees a spike in luxury sales.
Huh. So people making moves based on what? Policy changes?
Potentially. Or maybe just positioning themselves strategically. High net worth individuals deciding quickly based on the new landscape, perhaps.
That makes sense. It's more than just buying a house. It's strategy.
Exactly. And it's not just outsiders coming in.
No, the article said, what, 80% local buyers?
Yeah, around 80%.
Yeah.
Which really speaks to the confidence people already living there have in D.C., doesn't it?
It does. They're doubling down on their own city. And what are they looking for?
The reports call them ready-to-live-in homes. Convenience seems key.
Move in. Ready. Less hassle.
Probably. And location matters. Near government hubs. You know, Georgetown, Kalorama. Those command the top prices.
Okay. So D.C. is strong, resilient, driven by locals, and maybe some political timing. Let's shift gears. Head south. Miami.
Right. Miami. Very different vibe, especially this billionaire boulevard place, North Bay Road.
Yeah, that name definitely catches your attention. What's the story there?
Just incredible numbers since 2020. Something like $1.19 billion in sales along that one road.
A billion? Wow.
Yeah, individual sales hitting $20 million plus. It's pretty intense.
So what's pulling people there? It's not politics like D.C., right?
No, the big draw seems to be, well, classic Florida appeal. No state income tax, number one.
Right.
It's huge for wealth migration.
Always a factor.
Definitely. Plus the lifestyle, the oceanfront. It's a powerful compound.
You can get some big names moving in, which probably doesn't hurt the image.
Right. The articles mention Robert Zarco. David and Victoria Beckham have property there, too.
Right.
That celebrity factor adds another layer of prestige, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Drives up desirability and prices.
Through the roof, apparently. Land values jumping from maybe $500 a square foot to $1,500. Huge increase.
Because there's just not enough waterfront property to go around.
Exactly. High demand, very limited supply. And interestingly, some owners, like that Zarco guy, supposedly aren't selling even for offers over $100 million.
Really? So it's more than just the money for them?
It seems so. Yeah. They value the location, the lifestyle itself, more than the potential profit, which of course just makes the supply even tighter.
And the pandemic played a role here too, didn't it? Accelerating things.
Yeah, that's a really key point from the sources. Lots of wealthy buyers, especially from the Northeast, decided to relocate during that time.
Drawn by the tax benefits, but also walkability, social life in Miami Beach.
Precisely. It was a moment where people reevaluated, and Miami offered this mix of financial plus lifestyle benefits. Shows how big events can really shift these high-end markets fast.
Okay, so while we're on luxury, one article just dives into what luxury means now, and some examples are, well, pretty out there.
Oh, yeah. It's not just big houses anymore, is it?
Not at all. We're talking private movie theaters that look like actual cinemas. Multiple rock climbing walls.
I saw the one about the indoor hockey rink in Las Vegas.
Right. And that estate in Richmond with its own sporting club archery, fishing.
A shooting range even.
Mm-hmm.
And the beach house in Islamorada with 150 feet of private beach. It's about building a whole world inside your property lines.
And the car stuff. That sky garage loft in Manhattan with an elevator for your car.
Yeah, it takes it right up to your apartment. Incredible.
Plus a private vineyard in California making its own Pinot Noir.
It really shows how personalized luxury has become. It's moving way beyond just square footage or fancy taps. It's about unique, bespoke experiences tailored to very specific passions.
So it makes you wonder, what's next? What crazy amenity becomes the must-have?
Exactly. VR rooms, private rocket launch viewing decks. Who knows?
Okay, let's pivot again. Back north, Manhattan, reports say the luxury market there had a huge rebound. Best first quarter since 2019.
Yeah, the numbers are pretty striking. Overall, apartment sales up 29% in Q1 2025.
And the total value?
At $5.7 billion. That's a 56% jump from the year before. Huge.
Wow. And the driving force is the luxury end.
Clearly. That segment places over $5 million. Sales there surge 49%. That's where the real action was.
And a lot of these deals are cash, right? Especially at the very top.
Over 90% cash for deals above $3 million, according to one report.
So these buyers aren't sweating interest rates.
Not really. It shows they're in a very strong financial spot, and it makes that part of the market pretty stable, less vulnerable to financing wobbles.
But there's a contrast, isn't there? The mid-market isn't doing as well.
That's right. Properties between, say, $1 million and $3 million actually saw fewer signed contracts, a decline there.
So a split market, why would that be?
Well, a couple of potential reasons mentioned. Maybe a flight to quality. The super wealth and focusing on prime assets is a safe bet.
Okay.
And also this idea of the boomerang wealthy.
Ah, people who left during the pandemic coming back.
Exactly. Affluent folks returning to the city, maybe partly pushed by return to office mandates, and they're looking for permanent high-end places.
So that demand at the very top is maybe overshadowing the middle.
Could be. It suggests the sort of reallocation of capital towards the priciest properties.
Now, speaking of high-profile buys,
yeah.
One article flags Mark Zuckerberg buying a mansion in D.C., a reported $23 million place.
Yeah, in Woodland Normanstone. While it's not officially confirmed by him, his spokesperson did acknowledge a D.C. home purchase.
And the property itself.
It sounds substantial, like 11,000 square feet, 5 beds, lots of baths. Modern farmhouse style.
And the location, Woodland Normanstone, that seems significant too. Near the Naval Observatory, lots of embassies.
Exactly. Very strategic positioning, you could say. Close to political power centers, diplomatic circles.
Which, given Meta's constant engagement with regulators.
Right. It might be advantageous. And the timing, fitting into that broader DC luxury search we talked about, is interesting too.
It shows how these big real estate moves can be about more than just finding a place to live.
Definitely. Personal needs. Strategic positioning, investment. It all kind of blends together at that level. It adds to his already pretty big property portfolio.
Okay, let's swing back to Miami, but look a bit broader than just Billionaire Boulevard. There's an article on the overall 2025 market there.
Yes, and it provides some important context. Because while luxury is booming, there are real concerns about affordability for everyone else.
Right, so it's not all champagne and yachts.
Not entirely. There's a big push for more affordable housing, things like the Upland Park project, focusing on transit-oriented development to connect areas better.
That's good. But the article also mentions challenges like rising HOA fees, homeowner association fees.
Yeah, those can really add up and put pressure on homeowners. And it even touches on some controversial foreclosure practices tied to unpaid assessments.
Oof. So the cost of just owning a home is going up beyond the mortgage.
Exactly. It raises questions about long-term affordability, even if you manage to buy in the first place. Sustainability for different income levels is a big issue.
But there are some positive signs, too, like in Little Haiti.
Yes, that neighborhood is seeing transformation. More mixed-income housing development, and importantly, a new tri-rail station.
Better transport links.
Which is crucial for connecting people to jobs and maybe opening up more affordable options slightly further out. It signals a move towards more equitable growth, hopefully.
And then another big Miami headline, Lionel Messi buying up condos.
Yeah, 4 of them reportedly at the Cipriani residences.
Which is a new high-end place.
Brand new. Very upscale, lots of amenities, and it's a significant endorsement of that type of luxury product in Miami.
What's interesting is the contrast mentioned with older condo buildings.
Right. According to the sources, those are seeing slower sales, more inventory sitting around.
So buyers, at least luxury buyers like Messi, strongly prefer the new amenity-rich developments.
It certainly looks that way. It suggests a real shift in priorities for high-end condo buyers in Miami. They want the latest and greatest.
Okay, let's pull back for the big picture. Across the whole U.S., how's the luxury market doing compared to everything else?
Consistently outperforming. That's a key takeaway from several pieces. Homes over $1 million are just showing more strength, more resilience.
And the total value of all homes is staggering.
Yeah, by late 2024, it hit $48.1 trillion for all private real estate in the U.S. Trillion.
Wow. And a lot of that value is concentrated.
Very much so. The wealthiest 10% hold a big chunk of that. And despite, you know, economic headwinds, interest rates, whatever, demand for luxury homes stayed pretty stable through Q1 2025.
Which cities lead the pack for million-dollar listings?
Los Angeles is still number one, then San Francisco, then Boston.
The usual suspects, really. Centers of wealth, tech, finance.
Pretty much. And again, you see that split. Luxury homes selling at a steady clip, while homes under $1 million are taking longer, seeing more price cuts.
It really highlights the stability or maybe the insulation of that top tier.
Yeah, it seems less affected by the broader market fluctuations.
Okay, so if we try to wrap this all up, what's the main narrative? The U.S. luxury market is what? Generally healthy, but very regional.
I think that's fair. Healthy overall, definitely outperforming the rest of the market.
Mm-hmm.
But why it's healthy varies a lot by location.
Right. D.C. has its political and local drivers. Miami is all about tax and sun. Manhattan is finance and the wealthy returning.
Exactly. Different forces at play. And overlaying all that is this evolving idea of what luxury even means, these incredible personalized amenities.
So it's dynamic. Even if demand is stable overall, the reasons for demand and what people demand are changing.
Precisely. Wealth accumulation keeps feeding it, and these homes are seen as solid long-term investments too.
Okay, let me try and summarize the key takeaways for everyone listening. First, the luxury real estate market overall in the U.S. is pretty robust. It's doing better than the broader housing market.
Mm-hmm.
Second, specific hotspots like D.C., Miami, especially North Bay Road and Manhattan are buzzing, but for different reasons. In D.C., it's boosted by local buyers, the job market, maybe political shifts. People want ready-to-move-in places near government hubs. Zuckerberg buying there shows its draw for influential people.
Good summary.
Then Miami's luxury scene is really fueled by tax advantages, lifestyle, celebs. But the wider Miami market has affordability challenges, and there's a big split. New luxury condos like Messy Bot are hot, older ones less so.
Got it.
Manhattan's high end is bouncing back strong. Lots of cash deals, wealthy folks returning, showing resilience.
Yep.
And luxury itself is getting redefined by these amazing, sometimes crazy amenities. People want unique experiences.
Absolutely.
Finally, despite economic uncertainty elsewhere, demand for these top-tier homes is holding steady thanks to accumulated wealth and investment appeal.
That covers the main points well.
Yeah.
It's a complex but fascinating sector.
So here's a final thought to chew on. We've seen politics influence D.C., lifestyle and taxes drive Miami, finance lift Manhattan, and amenities redefine luxury everywhere. What unexpected factor might be next to shake up these high-end markets? And, you know, where could the next billionaire boulevard pop up? Something to think about. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us today.